Well, if you have a Bible, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 20. And like I said, I've said this many times, this is sort of like As the World Turns. It's a theme. God put something in my heart and I just kind of just chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. And like to couch you in the good. So we're going to try to chew on some things and chew on some more things. And I find that I know for me, and I think that's probably true for most everybody that I know, the chewing is necessary. And I say that because I think that we have a lot of bones stuck in us that we need to cough up and spit out. And I say that to say that we are stuck on so many religious concepts that are choking us to death, destroying us. And God would like to get rid of those things for our sake. It doesn't hinder Him, doesn't hurt God. It hurts you and I. And so God is, I sense that in my spirit, God is taking me to look back at things, to see those things in a different light and in a totally different perspective. And I know that at least everybody that I know long for pretty much the same things. They long for peace. They long for happiness, for fulfillment. They long to have their needs met financially or materially or any other way. Socially. It doesn't matter. I think the whole human race is that way. And by the way, I will mention this, and I read the book, oh goodness, a year or two ago, and I thought it was a tremendous book, and I knew they had made a movie from the book. And the name of the book is The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and by Dan Millman. That's a tremendous book. Matter of fact, it was a New York Times bestseller. Sold up in the millions of copies, and they made a movie from that book. And the star in the movie was Nick Nolte, and I like him. He's one of my few favorite movie stars. I've always liked his movies. Usually they're action-packed, but he plays a spiritual master in this movie, and it's a tremendous movie. It finally has hit the video stores, and you can find it in the video store. And the name of it is called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And I highly recommend you get that movie and look at that, because that movie speaks volumes. And if you'll look at the trailers, you know, at the end of the movie, you can watch the making of the movie or why the movie come from the book or what was the movie trying to say or was the message. You can watch all that, and they do personal interviews with Nick Nolte and other people who they're saying something. And I said that to say this: God is speaking, and we have tried to limit God to an arena that we call the church or evangelism or prophecy or whatever. We try to limit God to those arenas, and many times those arenas are speaking, but they're not speaking the voice of God. They're speaking the voice of religion, and it's that voice of religion that's twisted our minds, got us in false concepts, ideas, emotionalism, all kinds of things, and we get stuck there. And many times God goes outside those boxes. You can find it throughout Scripture. There are times when God would say, "Hey, y'all, come back down here to Egypt because I got something to say, and you can't hear it over there where you're at." That happened time and time again. So God would bring them back, and we always say, "Well, Egypt, that was the land of type of the world or bondage or whatever." And that's where God had to bring many people to try to speak to them, is to get out there outside that arena. And so I hear God speaking in a lot of different things. And I know that God is speaking to everybody. It's just a matter of us getting to where we can hear. And so these things that we'll talk about, they're outside a religious structure or the religious norm. And so if we don't open the mind of our understanding, we won't hear it or we won't see what God's saying. So I just, you know, I said all that to just say that Revelation chapter 20, and just kind of recap, I want to say a few of the things that I said a few weeks ago, and that is, if you read the last five verses of Revelation 20, talking about fire and brimstone, talking about death and hell, those things, we have such a religious view of them, a religious perspective. We don't see them as John the Revelator saw them, because John saw them in the eye of the Spirit. And when he saw them in the eye of the Spirit, he was referring to things from the Spirit, and the way he did it was through types and shadows or metaphors or spiritual ideas and concepts. And what we tried to do is make them literal. And when we did that, we just really messed up what God was really trying to say. And I say that, and I realize that people have a hard time with, because when I'm talking about a fire, a lake of fire, which the root word of that word lake, the root of that word actually means a harbor of peace, a safe place. You don't think of that when you listen to that from religion and you read that lake of fire. You do not think of a safe place. And when he talks about a lake of fire and brimstone, a lake that is a safe place that's fueled with fire, we don't remember that God is fire. We forget that Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire. And we forget that. What we are focused in on is somewhere or another that this is really going to hurt me. And it's so bizarre in our thinking to think that God is really going to hurt me. And I think we get that as a false concept of a natural daddy that we had or didn't have that was mean and would hurt me. And so we get that false idea, and we think that maybe Daddy God is that way. And so since I've done something wrong, Daddy God sure gonna hurt me. We're not realizing that Daddy God is the real true daddy, and he don't want to hurt you, he wants to help you. And so God's whole purpose is to help us, not to hurt us. But yet we get these ideas, and then the word brimstone that's used right here comes from the root word theos, which we get our word theology, that means the study of God, or the word theos, it simply means God, or God-like. And so this fire that's burning with brimstone is burning with God's nature, God-like. So the fire, the pur, that's the Greek word pur, which means fire, lightning, is a safe place where you and I can become more God-like. And where I'm going with this, and I'm going to kind of give you a punchline right here in the middle of where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this, and you that have an ear to hear, and you'll see this over the next several weeks as God lets me unfold this, is I'm going to show you how you can really and truly be saved. Because what religion has taught us about how to be saved is a lie. It's not true. We don't even know what it means to be saved. We have this false idea of what it is to be saved and don't even know what Jesus was talking about when he said, I came to save you, that the world through him might be saved. He wasn't talking about the church or religious order or religious people. We don't even understand what he was saying because religion has got us so off track. And so when I'm talking about these passages of Scripture, I'm again trying to just reiterate some things that I said last time, okay? And when you come out of the last part of chapter 20, I talked about the first word in chapter 21, and the word is and. And if you remember, I asked Jamie, I said, now Jamie, I want you to go to the store, and I want you to get some bacon. And she gets up, she runs off to the store and comes back, and I said, did you get it all? And she said, I got the bacon. And I said, well, what about the eggs and the biscuits? And she didn't hear the and. That's our problem too often. We hear God say something, we get up and take off, we didn't hear him say, I want you to get bacon and eggs And we didn't hear that. And so when you come into chapter 21, because of chapter divisions, which is just man's way of breaking this down to go back and reference it. It's not broken down. When it was written as a letter, there's no breaks in it. There's no chapters. There's no verses. It's a letter. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's God conveying something to us. And we don't, sometimes we don't hear it. We don't listen. So when you come into chapter 21, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." We have been told by religion that this is literal. And so what we see here in the eye of religion from literalism is we see God's got to tear up or destroy. Now listen to it. Heaven and earth. And you said you should scratch your head and say, why in the world God won't tear up heaven and make another one? Is there something wrong with it too? And then you come back and say, well, we already have this religious idea that he's got to tear up or destroy the earth and make us a new one. And that's not what it's saying. You see, when he's referring to heavens, he's referring to the thinking or the thoughts. And as we're talking about the earth, he's talking about the earthen vessels that we are. In other words, the natural man. And so when he says God is going to bring us to a place where we say a new or actually a renewed heaven, or in other words, a renewed thought process and a physical body, or a renewed body, one that's restored, one that's regenerated, one that's rejuvenated. Hallelujah. And then he said, because the first one, the natural one, God says it's going to pass away. In other words, the word here we're talking about is to go from one condition to another. Not to annihilate it, not to do away with it, but God says, I need for it to pass from one condition to another. So we're going to pick up right here in chapter 21, if you would with me. And let's read on. And remember this, I want you to remember this about God, that God is a consuming fire. Everybody say that with me. Say, God is a consuming fire. If you need the reference for that, it's Hebrews 12:29, I believe is the right passage. Hebrews 12:29. It tells you. As a matter of fact, real quickly, before I even read this in Revelation, real quickly, turn back over to the book of Isaiah and the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah 66. Just real quickly, flip over there and let's read this or look at this before we read. Isaiah 66, yeah. Last chapter of the book of Isaiah. All right, look at this. And it says in verse 15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire." Now I want you to understand that. You see, when God comes into your life, God's bringing a fire into your life. You may not recognize that, but when God, that's a bad way of even saying what I just said. That's not the right way when God comes, because you see, God's in you. God's always in you. God's not got to come inside you. God is in you. You live and move and you have your being only because God is. God's in you. But when we say this, when God comes, is actually what happened is we're waking up to that fact, or we are arising to that fact. So he says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger." We think that means, it's the Hebrew word off. It means his passion or his face. It has to do more or less like a man and a woman when they're face to face in a passionate moment. When they're at that moment passionately together. There's passion here. You know, why they translated anger? Maybe back then, 300, 400, 500 years, maybe they understood that. And a woman and a man and a woman that's face to face and they were passionate, everybody thought, well, my God, they're angry. They really at it, aren't they? Woo! Hallelujah. They weren't mad. And so we get these ideas. We think, well, God's mad at me. And God's not mad at us. It's crazy. God's not mad at you. So he comes with his passion and his fury, his energy, and he comes to rebuke us. How? With flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. Does it say all flesh? That means saved flesh, unsaved flesh. That means religious flesh. That means all flesh is all flesh. It don't mean that anybody's excluded from this fire, from this theos, from this presence of Almighty God. Nobody's excluded from the presence of God. No matter who you are, you're going to stand in that presence, period. And it's in that presence, in that fire, in God, hallelujah, that's when you'll be transformed and changed. Now that can take place right now, in this very moment, if you let it. If you let it. If you just surrender to it. So by fire and by sword, don't y'all know that the sword of God is not a literal instrument that God has in his hand? I said this on that tape up there, and I read this in a book that's written, and you can go it down here in our bookstores, and I do not recommend you buy this. This is not a book I recommend. Yet this book has sold millions of copies. It's one of a series of books that's written by a man that has sold something to the tune of over 60 million of these things. And Christians are so eat up with this garbage, this trash. And in this book, it's called His Glorious Appearing. It's a picture of God on a white horse coming back, and this woman is sitting there. She's in her mid-30s or maybe 40s. She's sitting there on her knees, and he comes back. He's got his sword in his hand, and shoosh, he cuts her head off. She has a little 16-year-old daughter there on her knees, and he takes that bloody sword, and he runs it right through her heart and kills her too. That's Jesus in his glorious appearing. And that's exactly how the book describes it. That's exactly how religion has taught me and you to believe that when he comes back, bless God, he's going to kill everybody.
Spoiler.
Just kill them all. And you try to tell me, you want to convince me that this is a picture of love, that this is a picture of God? I have a hard time with that. It gets me kind of angry. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And yet people have bought into this. They've bought into it. 60 million of these books, more of these books, sold to us, stupid so-called Christians. Pardon me, I'm sorry. It makes me mad. It upsets me that we have believed these lies, and all it does is damage us, hurts us. It doesn't give us a picture of our true God. It doesn't give us the right picture of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Does that sound like a Prince of Peace? Or does that sound like somebody that's mad, like Saddam Hussein, that says, if you don't do it the way I said, bless God, I'll cut your head off. God, help us. Help us, Lord. So back over here in Revelation 21, if you would. I'm already in trouble now. It ain't been going 10 minutes and I'm already in trouble. Revelation 21, and I want you to follow me with this because you have to think different. You can't think the way religion's taught you to think from a King James Bible.
Amen.
I mean, you know, if you're going to think the way a King James Bible has taught you to think, you're going to be messed up. If you don't study to show yourself approved, a workman of God who is able to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be confused. And it's taken me nearly my 3/4 of my life since I was in my late 20s of searching and digging and studying. I put nearly 35 years in this book of trying to figure out what in the world that it's got to say. And I want to tell you something. After 35 years of trying to figure this out, I have just now cracked the door and got a glimpse. You know why? I had to wade through, I couldn't tell you how many years of garbage and religion and all kinds of trash. And finally God is saying he wants to rip that out of me. He's like a bulldozer digging deep inside me. He said, there's a lot of stuff in there we need cleaned out. And he's doing it. Hallelujah. So follow me now. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and he and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away. Here we go. This burns in my heart. This beats deep in my soul. This verse of scripture that we need to get to understand has nothing to do with something way out yonder in the future, or something possibly when this religious manifestation of this God that we so call comes back at some coming back day. This has to do with right now. I want you to get that. This has got to do with you right now, right at this very moment, praise God. And I want you to see what God, this is the heartbeat of God. This burns inside my being. God will wipe away your tears. There are many of us who cry tears, tears of loneliness, tears of despair, tears of disgust. We cry for no reason at all. And God said, oh, I just want to touch you and show you that it's not near as bad as you think it is. It's not near the way that religion has told you that it is. He said, I want to wipe away your tears from your eyes. And there will be no more death, no more separation. Praise God, you'll come to know that he that holds eternity, that he that is eternity, is one with me and I with him. That there's no division, no separation, praise God. We are connected. We are fused together and nothing can tear me apart. Hallelujah. That's a revelation that comes. You have to get that by the eye of the Spirit. You won't get that in religion. You're not going to get that with good works. You're not going to get that because you go to church. You get that because you fall on your face and you cry out wherever you are, oh God, here I am, I need you. That's how you get that. No more death, no more sorrow, no more, neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain. You see, if we could ever get a real understanding of what sin is not the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication. I said this up there preaching in North Carolina. I said, most of the people in the church is doing that. Come on. Yeah, they are. Most of the people in the church are fornicating. Most of them committing adultery. Most of them are lying and stealing and cheating and this, that, and the other. Phil was trying to get the work of the flesh. That's what the flesh does. That ain't got nothing to do with sin. That ain't got nothing to do with pain. Sin is that hurt that's inside you. Sin is that anger. Sin is that hurts and it just destroys you. God said, that's what I want to touch. Hallelujah. When we let God touch that pain, that sin, that hurt, that's inside me, praise God. Then notice what it says right there. The former things then are passed away. And you notice he says it again in verse 4, passed away. It's amazing right here. Now I want you to hear this. The passed away in verse 1 and the passed away in verse 4 are not the same passing away. The passed away in verse 1 has to do with a condition or a change. It has to do more with going from one condition to another condition. But then the passed away in verse 4 has more to do with to smear out. And hear this. Oh God, give us an ear to hear this. It has more to do with pardon. Hallelujah. Do you have a clue what pardon is? If you went to prison, I've preached in prisons. I've been there and I've talked to them. You know what those prisoners want more than anything? Let me tell you what they want more than anything. They want pardon. Do you know what pardon says? Pardon says, I know you did it, and I know you deserve what you're getting, but I'm going to open the door and I'm going to let you go free. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? You see, God's not mad at us because we did it or we didn't did it. God's not trying to beat us up. God's trying to set you and me free. We just don't let him. We want to stay stuck in our pain, in all of the problems and situations and circumstances around us. And God's wanting to say, I pardon you. I open the door. You don't need to stay in that prison cell no more, praise God. You don't need to be bound up by that pain no more. I'm going to set you free. And listen to me. The more that you and me, well, hold your finger right here. You're in the Revelations. Turn back to the fourth chapter. I'm going to show you something right here. Revelations, the fourth chapter. Just flip back there real quick. Couple of verses here. Look at verse 5. Revelations chapter 4, verse 5. He says, and out of the throne. Now watch this. Don't y'all think that maybe if it's talking about a throne, it's talking about this place where God is? Huh? Wouldn't you assume that the throne is God? That God's sitting on the throne? Out of the throne. Now I want you to notice where this is at. It says, out of the throne proceeded what? Lightning, fire, and thunder, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning. You see, you can't get around it. You can find God sitting on a throne, and what you're going to do is you're just going to see lightning and you're going to see fire. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain and the bush that was burning said these words? The burning bush said, I am. And Moses stood there and said, oh God, what is this? That burning bush, the E-H-I-E, was transliterated, and the only way that we use Hebrew letters and put vowels inside that, for those letters to give us a word that we could try to pronounce this fire, this being, this entity, and we call it Yehovah. But still, we can't see what it is. And Moses sat there, and he watched the bush burn, and in that bush he communicated with God, and God spoke to him, and he spoke to God, and he come off the mountain, and what did it say? It said when he come off the mountain, the people couldn't look at him. Why? Because he had such a glow. So what did he do? He had to put a veil over his face so he could even talk to his brother. Why? They just couldn't stand in his presence. Why? He had a glow. He had a fire. He had God's presence. Hallelujah. Well, look here. Verse 5. What do you see? Do you see the same thing? It's the same thing. It's saying it a little different. This thunder and lightning, lamps of fire, praise God. Notice he said, the lamps of fire burning before the throne are the seven spirits of God. Look at chapter 5. Just skip over a verse there and let's see. Verse 6. It says, and I beheld and I lo, and I look in the middle of the throne. Again, he's looking in the throne. And of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. What was he doing? He was looking into those eyes. And when he looked into those eyes, you know what he saw? He saw a fire. He saw seven lamps. He saw fire burning, just like Moses did, just like you will. If you'll sit and you'll take time to meditate, you get the presence and you look into the eyes of God. What you'll see is a fire. And I'm going to tell you what that fire does. That fire will renew your mind. That fire will, it'll transform your life. That fire will restore your being. That's what he's talking about. This is what the writer is talking about. And you know what happens when that happens? Praise God, you'll pass away. Ah, yeah, that's what will happen. In other words, you'll look into those fiery eyes and you'll say, oh, you pardon me? Why, no, you couldn't forgive me. God, what I did was too wrong. It's too bad. And you just keep looking into those eyes of fire, and that fire will begin to burn all that stuff that you said too bad. What in the world do you think Paul saw when Paul wrote that? And he said it'll be like this. He said, you will burn, you will suffer this because your works are wood, hay, and stubble. But the works that are gold, precious stone, these will be purified. He said, you will be saved. Yet, so as by fire. Well, I thought I'd be saved if I confessed, or if I prayed the prayer, or if I joined the church. No, you don't even know what it means to Lord help us. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, look at John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Now that's just my recap from last week. Okay? So now we're going to get into today's message. John chapter 1. Are y'all with me? Verse 1. Hallelujah. I had a brother, and he said, "Now, brother, I need you to fill me." And I said, "Brother, I fill you, and I need you to pay me." I said, "Now, I fill you. Do you fill me?" He paid me. But we're on the same page. See, we're talking the same language. Now, I'm praying this morning, you need to fill me. And when I'm saying that, I want you to feel the heart that's in here, the Spirit of God. Because God wants you and me to feel Him. He wants us to get on that page where He's at. Now watch this, and y'all, you're familiar with this, but I just want you to see a couple of things and point out a couple of things. In the beginning, verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light. Everybody say light. That word is phos in the Greek. It means to shine, to make manifest. It means luminous. It means fire. Did you get that? That's what's in it. Fire. Hallelujah. Our God's a consuming fire. So in Him was life, and the life was the light. And the light shined where? In the darkness, in the dense places. That's you and me. Because of our flesh. Our flesh is darkness. It's dense. It's slow. It's light slowed down to its slowest element. Light shined in the darkness, but the darkness, King James says, comprehended it not. This simply means darkness couldn't stop it. If you look at another translation, that's what it'll tell you. It says that there was nothing that the density could do could stop this. It couldn't stop. You can slow it down a whole lot, you can't stop it. You say you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with your flesh, but you can't stop God being inside you. You can do all kinds. You can cover the light over. You can do all kinds of things with light. You can't stop the light. Nothing you can do to stop it. It's there. Verse 6. Hallelujah. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And all men through him might believe or might trust. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lights every man. God, you get that. Verse 9. Talking about God's Word, God, His Word, and Jesus are some synonyms. We're talking the same thing. God materialized Himself through His Word and manifested the material in a body called Jesus. It's all the same. That's one. And if you have an ear to hear this, verse 9, if you'll see what it says He did it to every man. And I didn't make it up. Verse 9. That was the true light that lights who? Does it say every man? Does that mean the Iraqs, the Irans, the Hindus, the Chinese, the Buddhists? Does that mean every man? Does every man mean every man? So if every man means every man, does every man that come into this world have the light of God inside him? He does. Even if you don't agree with him, if you don't like him, if he done everything wrong, he still has the light of God inside him. And I want to tell you, that light will return right back to its source, which is light. And as it turns right back to its source, which is light, all of the other activities that were in his life will be burned as he goes into that consuming fire that God is. So his work will be wood, hay, and stubble. He can spend a lifetime of wood, hay, and stubble and accomplish nothing, but still have the light of God inside him. Verse 9, I know that's so hard, that's contrary. Well, help us, Jesus. That was the true lie which lights every man that comes into the world. The word here for world is cosmos. It comes from the Greek cosmos. It means decoration, it means the order, or it means the adorning. It has nothing to do with the terra firma, or in other words, the earth, the dirt, the trees, the hills, the mountains. God don't want to destroy the dirt, the trees, the hills, the mountains. There ain't nothing wrong with them. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, God created and said, you know what's not only good? He said, it's very good. And it ain't never quit being very good. Hallelujah. And never. Hallelujah. And so what God is saying right here, He said, verse 9, that was a true lie which lights every man that comes into the order, that comes into this order of things. Listen to me, there are two order of things. Or you could say it this way, there are two worlds. There's the world of the natural, there's the order of the natural, there's the world of the spiritual, there's the order of the spiritual. Those are the two worlds. They coexist. They run simultaneously. They are always flowing together, and you can be stuck in one or the other of them. You can be stuck in a natural order of a natural world, and it'll dictate to you, it'll dominate you, it will destroy you if you let it, or you can be stuck in a world of God, the spiritual world from which comes all life, peace, joy, and happiness, abundance, and all of the other things. Praise God, it's right there. You just got to plug into it, and many people plug into it, don't get nothing out of it, and the only reason you do is your plug is rusty. Your plug is corroded. And you want me to tell you what I'll tell you to do when you got a corroded plug or you've got a rusty connection? I'm going to tell you, plug it in, plug it in, plug it in until it gets unrusty and uncorroded and you have a good connection. And you want me to tell you how you're going to do that? Is to meditate. Is to take time. Is to lay aside. And you know what you tell me? I ain't got time. Then keep your connection rusty. And in your rusty connection, you can cry all you want. Oh God! Oh God! You can scream. You can get religious. You can do all you want to. But you have a rusty connection. You got a corroded blood. You may have it plugged in, but you ain't getting nothing out of it. And I would say, if you ain't getting nothing out of it, then pray you got to plug that sucker in until you wear the connection until it's clean. Hallelujah. Until you can just go, oh. Hallelujah. And peace just runs over you like a river. Whew. Dear God, that's got to be good.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Where did I get to? This is just the beginning, okay? This is just the beginning. So this light, verse 9 says this light comes into the world, comes into every man, not just some, but every man. Verse 10, he was in the world, he was in order, and the order was made by him, but that order didn't know him. Did y'all see that, verse 10? I'm just trying to help you get an understanding of what it's saying. This order was made by him, but this order didn't understand him, and this order didn't even recognize him. But nevertheless, he's still there. Now turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 30. What does it say? I can, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Now if you have a red letter Bible, you will notice that that's Jesus speaking. And notice what Jesus said. I can of my own self do nothing. You see, y'all think he can because y'all think that he's special and you're not. So since he's Jesus, he's a special kid, he can do something you can't do. Yet the special kid says right here, out of his own mouth, I can't do nothing. Hello? You know what he said? He said, I can't heal a blind eye. I can't walk on water. You know what he said? He said, I can't raise the dead. He said, of mine own self, I can do nothing. Let's all say that. Say that. Of my own self, I can do nothing. You see, you're the same as he is. You're not different than he is. He said, it's my connection to the Father that does this. Do you think that you can't have that connection to the Father? Why do you think that the story of Jesus is all about? The story of Jesus and the Gospels about Jesus are so that you and me can be connected to the same source that He's connected to. So that you can do the same things that He did. So you can walk the same way that He walked. I mean, you know, we're not some in another world or another thing or whatever. We're all the same. Now, I know y'all have a hard time. Yeah, but Brother Lynn, he was special. He was the Son of God. And who are you? You're the Son of God. Yeah, but Brother Lynn, he had these special things. He was born of a virgin. Or whatever. You were too. Ain't no difference. None whatsoever. You know, Genesis 1. Y'all hear me preach it all the time. You were made in His image and in His likeness. Right. When did you quit having His image and His likeness? You see, you and me think His image and likeness is some physical carcass, and it ain't. The physical carcass, He just built that thing and said, well, it looks good. I'm going to put my image and likeness in it. Boop. But I'm not going to put it in there for a permanent thing. I mean, it's just going to be there for a season. Just a season. And hallelujah. You ought to enjoy it while it's in the season. Instead of destroy it. And God help us. Verse 30. I. It's the Greek word. Ego. E-G-O. How many of y'all got an ego? Right, yeah. Every one of us. How many of you know your ego is your problem? It is. And how many of you know who your ego is? Your ego is your I. Me. Mine. And they learn it. They learn that so young. I've seen my little 2 and 3 year old grandkids say, mine, that's mine, that's mine. Oh, that's mine. And all of a sudden that ego, that I, it begins to start rising up, praise God, and we let it do that. I mean, you know, to me a grandpa is cute. Hey, but that, you know, all I do is just instigate it, you know, feed the thing. We do that, and then when they get to be grown, fully grown, and they're, you know, 18, 20, 25, and that eye, that ego's still going, and it's addicted to meth, it's got all these crazy ideas and all these crazy things. It ain't cute no more, is it? No, it ain't cute no more. It ain't cute no more. And you know why? Why is it that way? Well, partly because we raised it to be that way. I mean, mine. Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing." But now let me say this to you: your I and your I am aren't the same thing. You know, Jesus would say, "I am the Father. I am." It's not ego. See, He's not talking from His ego. He's not talking from that place. He's not talking from that is His problem. He's talking from that is His source. I am. You hear me? That's not why I say that. Just say, I am.
I am.
And you are. Yeah, you really, really are. Hallelujah. All right, turn with me real quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. So when we try to live our life from the I, the ego source, when we try to live our life from that, all it can do is create. Now hear me, please hear. All it can do is just continually recreate more pain, more sorrow, more tears, more problems. It just don't know anything else to do. If it's stuck in itself, it's stuck in itself. The best thing you and I can do is disconnect it from itself and connect it to its source, who is God. And when you connect it to its source, who is God, then God will give you greater fulfillment, greater pleasure. He's not going to take it away from you. I think some people think, well, if I go and do that religious thing, I'll be like God, then I'll have to become a monk and I can't have sex no more. I can't have pleasure no more. You know, I've got to be... Or, you know, you join some religious, extremely religious group of people and you think, well, I can't wear short sleeves no more. I can't do nothing with my hair no more. I can't wear makeup no more. I can't. And my God, who wants to live like that? God didn't create you to live like that. God created you to live and move and have your being and to its greatest and most fullest pleasure. It's like I was sitting, I was meditating many times because we're connected to the ego. We see something, for instance, in a male, this happens to most men, and the ones that don't happen to are liars. But most men, if they see a real good looking thing that's kind of got a figure, you know what I mean, that cocoa bottle thing, you see that, short skirts, you know, really good looking, the first thing they do, their eyes pop out of their head, and you thought, woo, how would that be? And all of a sudden, they go into a lustful, vulgar thought from their ego. Rather than, if that, and you know what, listen to it. And it was God, who is the source of everything, that caused that idea to bubble up out of them when they looked at that good-looking thing, but they didn't hear what God said. All they heard was what their ego thought. You know, those and didn't hear what God said. You know what God said? God said, yeah, I wanted you to see that good-looking cocoa ball thing, but what I was trying to tell you was she's got some real pain deep inside there. And she's hurting, and I want you to touch that hurt. We didn't wait long enough to hear that. That thought come bubbling out, and boy, all we started thinking about was sex or something else, and boom, we missed everything God said. God give us an ear to hear that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Follow me with this. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now everybody just touch yourself. Touch yourself. Say, I have the Spirit of God. You see, you have that inside. You have the Spirit of God. You didn't get that from the world. You got that from God. So he said that you and I might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you know those things? How many of you know those things that are freely given to you from God? Most of us don't have a clue. Hallelujah. Just like I'm talking about with that particular woman, that good-looking woman. Most all men, when they see that, they all of a sudden take the lustful thought of the ego rather than to hear what was God trying to say. What was God wanting to do? What was God? God wasn't taken away from the fact that maybe she is good-looking. God was wanting to show you something that's life. And what did we do? We looked at it and made something dead out of it. Why? He looked at it through the ego. That you might know the things that are freely given to you from God. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for he hath... Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Listen to me. The two minds, just like the two worlds, there's the mind of God and then there's the carnal mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, most of you think it's robbery if you think of yourself as equal with God. Most of you think, well, that's some kind of religious cult. Most of you think, well, you got serious problems if you think you're equal with God. But that's not what the Scripture said. The Scripture said, let this mind be in you. Now, you see, that mind that he wants to be in you would be the mind of God. Or you can be controlled by the ego, which is the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh. And we always have this choice going on. Always. It's right in front of us. Which one am I going to listen to? The mind of the flesh, carnal mind? I'm going to listen to the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit, which is life and peace and godlikeness. Hallelujah. Which one am I going to? In verse 16, he says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have. Look what he said. We have this mind. You have it. Look at verse 16. The last five words. But we have this mind. Well, what are you going to do with it, praise God? If you'll plug into it, it'll solve every problem you got. If you'll plug into it, it'll meet every need that you got. If you plug into it, it'll give you peace and joy and happiness, praise God. And all of the things that you want. Does it mean you can't have sex no more? No, it don't have nothing to do with that. Dear God, now you can really have sex. Oh, this is X-rated. This is X-rated, y'all. Chapter 3, let's keep reading. Forget this break is here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, pneumaticos, but as unto carnal. In other words, meatheads. Yes. Flesh. He said, that's the only way I can talk to you. Have you ever talked to somebody, bless God, every other word was a cuss word, and they were angry, and they were all just upset, blah, 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 and I just disgust you and all you. But sometimes you just need to wad your fist up and slap them upside the head. So I can't talk to you spiritual. I'm going to talk to you carnal. Get you a board and hit them. Now y'all know I'm kidding. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes you run into those meatheads. Oh Lord, that's hard to turn the other cheek. Yeah, it is. Somebody. Oh, sweet Jesus. Paul says, I want to talk to you from the Spirit. That's what I want to talk to you out of the heart of God. But you just won't let me. Why? Because you're carnal. Look what he said in verse 1. You wouldn't believe it if you didn't see it. He said, I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even babies. Babies how? You see, he said you were in Christ. He said, yeah, you're carnal. Yeah, you're meathead. Yeah, you cuss. Yeah, you got all these stuff. But you're still in Christ. He said, you're babies. And the word comes from the Greek word nephios, which just simply means that you're still a baby. You can't even speak. A nephios is one that's still sucking on his mama's breast. Still nursing. He's a nephios. He's still nursing. He don't have words yet. Paul said, that's how you act. That's how you are. In verse 2, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you are not able to eat it or bear it. And neither yet are you now able, for you're still carnal. They've been carnal for 25 years. And he said, bless God, it's time for you to grow some teeth and grow up. It's time for you to quit sucking the tit. It's time for you to get out from under mama's skirt. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and division, and you show me a church that ain't predominant in it. They ain't one out there where envy, strife, and they're still the children of God. God ain't mad at them. God's not mad at us. God's saying, I got something better for you. There's envy, strife, and there's division. You are still carnal, and you still walk like human beings. Whenever God says, now, I've called you to be spiritual beings and have a human experience. Not human beings, and every now and then having a spiritual experience. See, what we think is, well, I'm just a human being. I'm just a man. I'm only human. You know, and then you got all these pains and problems and this, that, and other, and all this stuff. You didn't realize that God said, no, you're a spiritual being. You're an eternal being, and you're having a real lousy human experience. You know why you're stuck in it? You don't have to be stuck there. You don't have to be. Yes, I know it hurts. Dear God, it does me too. You know, you get these pains and these problems and this sickness and this disease, and I realize it's difficult and it's hard, and many times we just get stuck in those places, and God said, but you don't have to stay there. Are y'all getting anything out? Are y'all getting this? God wants you and me. You see, God don't want you to just be living from your ego self. Jesus trying to make it clear, you know, when he says, look, yeah, I walked on water. It wasn't me. You thought that was me, did you? Oh, yeah, I raised them folks from dead. That wasn't me. You thought that was me, did you? Oh, yeah, I fed all them thousands of people. You thought that was me. That wasn't me. See, we build religions. We build religions now to that was him. That wasn't me. Yeah, that wasn't me. He said, no, that ain't me. He said, that's the Father. Glory to God. What? Do y'all think that the Father went somewhere on the backside of the Milky Way and said to hell with all of you? No. Man, the Father's right here. He's just right here. He's right here with us. That's right. He is. Carnal mind. Greek word sarkikos comes from the root Greek word sarx, which just means flesh, and it don't matter if it's the flesh of an animal or the flesh of a human. If it's sarx, it's sarx. It's carnal. It's carnage. It's flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with it. The only thing wrong with it is our addiction to it. Our habits, all of those things, all of humanity are suffering from this mistaken identity to the flesh. I don't care who they are. We're hung up at the ego. They think the ego is the I am, the pneumatikos, when the ego is the sarkikos, the flesh. And that within every human being, this silent, everybody say silent. Within every human being, this silent pull comes from within, pulling them toward their center. But right alongside that, there is a very loud, noisy pull from without. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, all of this mess going on outside me, pulling me, and we become divided, pulled apart. To be saved has to do with no longer being divided. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to talk about, how to be saved. Amen. Come on back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all just stand.